tuning in. This is Building the Movie List. Hi, my name's Evan, and this week I'm joined by Tim Smith.
Hello.
Thanks for saying hi. Matthew Molina.
Hi, guys.
Great. And Gabby, how do you pronounce it?
Say it. Say it. Do your best.
Fucking say my name.
Say my name. I am the one who knocks.
Ferreira.
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 Actually,
really? It's just Ferreira?
So, okay.
No, it's not.
It's not just right. Ferreira.
I thought she was saying her last name was Say It. That's what I
was saying. Say It.
My last name is Gabby. Say It. No, it's so there's a Portuguese pronunciation for it that I can't even do. My family speaks Spanish and they say Ferreira.
Yeah.
But then the anglicized version of that is Ferreira. But because everyone gets confused by that because there's no D in my last name, I just say Ferreira now.
Ferreira. So
you can say Ferreira. I'll accept it.
So I said it wrong.
Yes, you did. You tried, though, and that's what counts.
I tried.
You but, did.
Yeah, this
A for
week.
Effort. Now we're talking about M for murder. Sorry.
A for effort.
You skipped a lot of letters.
I did.
And this week we're talking about Dial M for Murder, an Alfred Hitchcock movie starring Grace Kelly and Ray Milland. And this is the first movie we've done that I haven't seen before.
I hadn't seen it either.
Me either.
I only knew bits. Well, I've seen The Perfect Murder, so I remembered after
is
I watched
that what this is based off of.
Well, vice versa. Yeah, I realized 10 minutes in. I thought that's right. That movie was based on this. I was going to save that for later in the conversation, but
no. We'll just put all the fun facts up front.
Yeah. I knew I'd get your fun facts off right away. Yeah.
You're full of them. Full of fun.
You better be full of them. But yeah, this movie comes in 157 on IMDb's top 250 movies. And yeah, I didn't know what to expect. I haven't watched very many Alfred Hitchcock movies. I think the only one I've seen is North by Northwest. Where were you guys coming into this movie as far as Alfred Hitchcock films?
I'm a huge Alfred Hitchcock fan. This one, that being said, I don't know if I'd ever seen this movie from beginning to end either. It's not my favorite, but I really enjoyed it.
I came into it totally cold. Like, I haven't seen all of Hitchcock's movies, but I've seen, like, the main ones, like North by Northwest and Rear Window and Psycho. I hadn't seen this, and I probably could have lived a full life without having seen it.
Wow.
Rude. I came into it, like Matt, I've seen a few Hitchcock movies. I like what he does. I have not seen North by Northwest, but I've heard I need to. I know. You're shaking your head at me, Evan. But I love Psycho. I love Rear Window. I love Vertigo also. I know that can be kind of a weird choice for people. And I really like those oldie-timey murder mystery movies. Like, you know, it's very comforting to me. I was obsessed with Clue as a child, so that might be where that came from. And this movie had a lot of Clue vibes, like, you know, like close-ups of people, like, you know, moving things around and trying to be secretive. And I was like, ooh, what are they going to do? And I was just kept in the dark as much as anyone else. It was like a thrill ride, but chill.
A chill ride.
Because I was like, I was completely relaxed. I was like, they're going to solve it at the end. It'll all wrap up fine. But I was kept guessing along the way. So that was cool. I appreciated that.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this movie, actually. I thought this was like a real breath of fresh air from me coming from like Avengers. And I just watched like all of Game of Thrones. Coming from these just massive scale movies to this movie that's 90% of it just takes place in this one apartment room, basically.
It's totally the opposite, really.
Yeah, it's like really, it's a really small scale. And I thought it was kind of cool. It's like kind of a reverse murder mystery because the bad guy tells you his plan at the very beginning and you know what he's going to try and do.
Is he really a bad guy, though?
I mean, my favorite part was when her, I guess her mister, because women don't have mistresses. You know what I mean?
Her side piece.
Thank you. Her side chick guy. When he just like goes to the bad guy and he's like, I've got it. Here's what we're going to tell the cops. And it was exactly what the guy had done.
Yeah, that was great.
And I was like, this is unprecedented. He guessed it all correctly.
He's a mystery writer.
Yeah. He was just like, oh my goodness. How did he know the plot?
That part was weird to me because he's like, yeah, you know, you'll just do a few years in jail and then she'll live.
I'm good.
He says, thank you.
I don't have to do anything.
He says,
I will say I was kind of unsure about that whole like trial sequence. I was like, did that actually happen?
Yeah, that
or
was weird.
It seemed very dreamlike and like I thought maybe she was just like fearing the trial that was gonna happen.
Yeah.
But then it's like, oh no, yeah, she's gonna hang for this.
So I didn't realize, because in that weird trial sequence, because I was kind of like you, I was like, oh, like these colors are super vivid, like this doesn't feel like it's a courtroom scene.
Mm-hmm.
But the weirdest part to me was when like they cut to the judge and the guy puts like a black cloth on his head. Is that like a thing?
It's like a parliament
it's
thing.
It's probably, yeah. They wear like powdered wigs. And
I mean,
it's all backwards across the pond.
Like, he delivered the guilty verdict and then like the guy came and put a cloth on his head.
Maybe
like,
that's
that
the one thing they put in there to be like, Americans won't know this is fake. We'll show them.
Right.
This is ridiculous. But they'll think it's just what we do.
Yeah, I was completely convinced.
As far as the simple thing that goes, is it might be my one kind of criticism. I don't know if it's a criticism, but it's not my favorite thing. But being it looked for sure that it was adapted from a play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where I was like, you know, in one room, the whole one scene. Mm-hmm. You know, all the stuff where he's looking out the window and seeing him turn around and come back. I mean, that's all stuff he threw in there.
Just describing it the whole time.
Yeah.
Now he's turning around.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's figured it out.
Yeah.
By God, he's got it.
But it felt like it was a play, and then Alfred Hitchcock threw his goodies, you know, through his angles and spinning camera and all that stuff into the play. It didn't feel like a huge adaptation.
Yeah.
Maybe it was, because I've never seen the play.
Hitchcock, like, he was basically just saying he was kind of asleep at the wheel for this.
Yeah,
like,
is that
yeah
right?
He was just like, I just kind of phoned it in, so to speak.
Oh.
He was just like, yeah.
No pun intended.
Just like, literally, anybody could have directed this. And that's basically, I was really happy to read that after this, because that's pretty much how I felt. I was like, this doesn't really feel like it. Other than the story.
Like, I think he just liked the story, I have a feeling. Or maybe he knew, maybe it was a contract thing.
Yeah, it was a contract thing.
Oh,
yeah,
I heard
he didn't even want to do
it. Yeah, he was like forced to do this movie.
Oh.
Was Grace Kelly also forced to do this movie? Because I felt like she didn't do as good of a job as she could have.
But on that note, speaking of Grace Kelly, I thought it was funny.
Grace Kelly.
I was actually telling my mom about this.
Mm-hmm.
And she was saying she'd do that once in a while. She'd have this faux pas kind of sort of English accent.
Yeah.
Because she was American.
Yeah, but I was watching this movie and I was like, this is a weird, it's weird to see Grace Kelly doing an English accent.
Yeah.
I think.
Was she doing that just to be an actress in the 50s, or was she trying to make an accent for the movie? I'm not totally sure.
I haven't seen enough Grace Kelly films to know what her voice is supposed to sound like, but like, I feel like you see that in a lot of old movies, like, because a lot of people, especially like right after sound became a thing, like they were doing these really weird like stage English accents, like very exaggerated, because no one really knew what the standard should be for talkies. And they were like, well, this is like what classy stage actors do, so we're gonna do that.
And over
it sounds very
and
weird.
Then some of the other actors do that, they're English and they just enunciate that way anyway,
right?
Like the cop, the detective.
The detective?
John Williams.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
right.
I was like, man, he's almost 100 years old.
It must be before he composed.
His first
that beard really changes the look.
Anyway.
Yeah, Grace Kelly. I think this is the first movie I've seen her in.
Well, she was in Rear Window, right?
Yes.
Yeah, she was in, she's only been in 11 movies.
Wow.
And three of them were Hitchcock movies. So it was this, Rear Window, and To Catch a Thief.
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, I'm
trying to think who's in that. Is that a later?
That's
one?
Cary Grant. Right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
I think it's after these ones, right?
So that was 1955. So I believe so. Yeah. Rear Window, 1954. Yeah.
Yeah, because then she married Prince Rainier of Monaco, and then she became a
princess.
That's
a good pull.
You got some Grace Kelly facts on there.
Yeah, fun fact. Actually, I learned about this. So, sorry, small digression here. If I remember correctly, she was like a crazy, like, mad hoe. Like, she was always, like, sleeping around.
Technical term.
Fact check me on this, but I'm pretty sure I remember that she was, like, always sleeping around.
That was
around.
Grace Jones.
Really? No, Grace Kelly, yeah. I'm telling you. Like, and everyone, the studio, like, had to work super hard to keep it a secret because she had, like, wow. This really wholesome good girl image. And then she basically, like, got tired. If I remember correctly, she was just, like, ready to stop working, and she pulled a Rich Prince, and she was like, "All right, peace." Wow. And that was her thing. If I remember correctly, I might be wrong. You might want to fact check me, because I think that's what I read.
Sounds like a OG Disney child actor. Like, they start out with, like, this wholesome image, and then they turn into, you know, Miley Cyrus and Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, but with Princess Grace, she really kept that all the way through the end. She was beloved in Monaco. Like, and
I bet.
Her wedding dress, hey. Her wedding dress was iconic. Mm-hmm. Got copied for like 10 to 15 years after. Actually, Prince William's wife, Kate, the Duchess of Cambridge, her wedding dress is based off of Grace Kelly's wedding dress. It's got that kind of feel to it. It's very elegant, very classic. So Grace Kelly was not only an actress, she was also a style icon and a princess. I mean, and a mad hoe.
We probably found out that later, probably, right? Everybody's tell-all book we found out about. What she liked. But I thought she had that image really in the movies, very, very classy. And I mean,
well, this
not
movie,
the whole
she
part.
Was
like a classy,
you know,
hoe.
Oh,
she was running around on her husband. So
yeah.
I
mean, just her general demeanor, and maybe I'm wrong about that. You're right. She picked roles.
Anyways, sorry.
No,
Grace Kelly diversion.
I mean, she's part of this movie.
Yeah.
Big part of this movie. But yeah, just watching her, I was like, wow, she is gorgeous.
She's beautiful.
Iconic beauty, definitely. Like,
yeah.
As we like to say, a dish back in the day.
Oh!
That can end up being like our recurring.
I mean, I just say that all the time.
That's what that all the time. Yeah. She was a dish back in the day.
I know a dish when I see
one. I know a. Picture some Fonzie thumbs and you got it.
This is probably a sin to say this, but I have to admit, a few angles, because I knew that this Perfect Murder, which I said, by the way, several times, mm-hmm. I said that. Gwyneth Paltrow kind of had a couple angles. She reminded me of Grace Kelly a little bit.
Really?
Yeah.
A couple times, because I started thinking about that movie, and she was actually a pretty good pick.
I'll have to check that out, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen that movie.
Yeah, that's...
Wait, what?
A Perfect Murder.
Oh, and that's
the remake of Dialing.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of complicated. I mean, it feels like you're doing a shell game because you're trying to figure out which key went where in this movie. And it was the same with the sequel. It's like they made it kind of complicated to figure out all these his plan to for the guy to sneak in and all that stuff. I thought it was kind of complicated. I don't know.
Yeah, the key thing kind of came out of nowhere yeah. for me. Like I knew where about him hiding the key.
Yeah,
but. I was pretty confused for like a solid like 10, 15 minutes.
At the end where it was like, there's a key here and a key here. And the detective is like, see, the key didn't work. But then this key didn't work.
Every latch
key
looks the same. And I already went over there. You don't have to show it. So
I was like, how many? Like, does everyone in London have like the exact same silver key?
That's what we're led to believe.
That's what he said. The last key's all the same.
No one had like a bronze key or like a different color at all. Is it all silver? I don't know. I didn't live in the 50s. I have no idea.
Or London.
Or London, ever.
But yeah, this movie came out in 1954, same year as Rear Window, also by Hitchcock. And other movies on this list from 1954, Seven Samurai and On the Waterfront.
Wow. I haven't seen Seven Samurai, to my great shame.
On the Waterfront was in?
Yeah.
Wow.
I haven't seen either of those.
And Hitchcock is all over this list, obviously. So you've got this, North by Northwest, Vertigo, Rear Window, Psycho, and Rebecca.
Rebecca's a really good movie. Yeah. It's one of my favorites.
I can't believe The Birds isn't on that list. That's one of my favorites.
Yeah, there's a couple. Like, I was never surprised weren't on here. Like, I've heard a lot of The Lady Vanishes.
Yeah, I've never older. Seen that. See, that's most. I was gonna say my favorite stuff is like the 50s and 60s.
Okay.
But he did some. You know, he started. I want to say for definitely in the 30s, but the early late 20s. Would that be too late? Too early?
That's too early. That's like
I know he had 30s.
Chaplin and
I know he had 30s and 40s movies. Maybe it was later 30s. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't remember. Rebecca was earlier than these other ones.
Yeah, the bird.
Rebecca was mid to late 40s.
Who started that? I'm trying to remember who started that.
I don't remember, Tim. Why did you ask questions? I can't remember. I watched it in high school. It like came on TCM late one night, and my mom really likes that movie, and she was like, "Oh my god, we got to sit down and watch it. It was really good." All I remember is like the voiceover of the woman being like, "That was the first time I met Rebecca."
Yeah,
it's so good.
Yeah, I think all of those are better than this.
Well, it's interesting you said it was a contract thing, but he made it. I think here's a fan talking, but to me, he makes something better.
It's yeah.
That's what I think. To me, he made it better.
It probably like yeah. Doing it. In just some random person's hands, it probably wouldn't have been as good. But I mean, I don't know what anybody would have really done differently because you basically just set the camera there and just follow the actors.
It's a play. Basically.
Yeah, there's not like a ton that you can do. And then he had to shoot it in 3D, which he didn't want to do either.
That was interesting. Yeah.
Oh yeah, there was some. Yeah, there was something weird about that.
Was like the end of like one of the cycles that 3D has gone through.
The scene with
the phone with and the finger. Phone
and the finger, which he made like a giant replica of.
Because, big giant fake finger.
And he had to do that because the 3D camera like wouldn't focus on like just a zoomed in regular phone with a finger.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to make like a giant fake finger and a phone to get that shot of like the zoomed in finger dialing.
My thing is, what does this movie need to be 3D for? Anyway?
I have no idea.
It adds nothing.
No.
Like, no it's reason. Not like there's action occurring it in the movie.
There's not even there's not even one of those, like, ping pong balls, like in House of Wax, where they're, like, batting it at you. Or, like, the inspector, like, look at this key, and holds it up really close to the lens.
Throws it at the audience.
Yeah.
Look at it.
It's like, oh, it's coming at me.
By golly, John.
It's like, oh, no.
It's coming right at us.
I feel like I really am in this British flat. That's how I...
Yeah, it's not like you go anywhere cool. I mean, you're in the apartment, then you're in another room of the apartment, and then you're like in that gentleman's club or wherever they were.
The stag party.
Oh, the stag party.
The stag party. Thank you.
Everybody's smoking cigars.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cigars happening.
You wouldn't understand. This was
I don't really want to understand.
Stay at home and do your clippings.
My clippings? What clippings? I don't understand.
That sounded a little Irish or not Irish, but
Irish.
Yeah, me? Definitely not. She's all over the place. She can't keep one accent for more than a second.
Oh my goodness! Yes, I can. You stop it right now.
See, you just
stop it.
But the other thing I was going to say about that, the play. So I'm guessing if it was a contract thing, the play was popular just a few years before. So that was probably, hey, we need to get, it was probably popular enough and sold enough tickets. Hey, this needs to be a movie. If you attach Hitchcock to it, everybody will want to see it. Probably.
Exactly. I have a hard time imagining if like somebody else's name were attached to this. I do not believe this would be on the 250.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like, this is just goodwill towards all of Hitchcock's other works.
I mean, all the people in it are good. Ray Milland is.
Yeah, it's.
He's a
great. Which one was Ray Milland?
He was the husband.
Bad guy.
Oh, he's the bad
not,
dude.
Not Cary Grant.
Yeah.
Who was Cary Grant?
Cary Grant wasn't in the movie.
No. Well, no, he was. Cary Grant was supposed to be his character.
Oh.
And Cary Grant did not want to do a villain. So, right. Which actually, that probably would have put it a little bit over for me is because you never seen Cary Grant as a villain. It's like, actually, I could kind of see Cary Grant in that role. But Cary Grant didn't want to diminish his brand.
Oh, cool.
But also, would she be having an affair on Cary Grant with
that is true.
Yeah. Robert Cummings. No one's going to have an affair. Like, no one's going to run around
that
on
might
Cary
not be
Grant.
Believable. Like,
Robert Millman or whatever the hell his name was. Yeah, it's like, oh, totally should be fooling around on with Chris Pine or whatever. Chris Pine. That's what I was singing the whole time. I was like, if they made this, like, Chris today, that would be a Chris Pine role, yeah.
He had a very obnoxiously all-American face. The American guy.
Really?
Yeah, I wanted to hit him. Like Robert he looked Cummings. Like he came out of a
know
comic
him.
Book.
I just can't think of what he's. I've seen him in a ton of. He was just another character actor. I've seen him in a ton of things.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was in a lot of TV, like episodic TV stuff in the 60s, 70s, that type of thing.
Yeah, I don't recognize him at all.
I know the name Ray Milland, but I don't know if I'd recognize him.
He was on the Bob Cummings show.
Oh, there it is. It is on TV show.
A laugh riot.
Mystery solved.
I don't see anything I recognize just briefly, but
I think he was in a lot of TV, right? I think he was in like a bit parts like Murder, She Wrote.
I'm going to let the cat in. Really.
Not necessarily Murder, She Wrote, but that like Love Boat or Love American Style.
Yeah.
No, this week, Robert Cummings. Bob Cummings.
He played Center Square, maybe.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, I could see that, yeah. He was the Whoopi Goldberg of his day.
But yeah, what did you guys think of the performances in this movie?
Fine.
I liked Ray Milland as the bad guy. I thought he was pretty good.
He did a great job of being, like, you could see the cogs turning in his head. Like, he's just, like, thinking, like, okay, how do I explain this? How do I, like, gaslight Grace Kelly out of thinking that?
I thought it was really good at somehow, like, you could see the cogs turning, and I'm like, how do I make this seem like I care about her, but also paying her?
Yes, absolutely. And then, like, okay, like, the part when he's talking to her on the phone, and he's just, like, he's so completely calm while he's, like, listening to his wife getting strangled. And, like,
yeah.
It's just, like,
listening
creepy.
Listening to it. Yeah, that was a good part.
Oh, man, that
basically
was so creepy.
Basically just checking his watch.
Yeah. And then he, like, convinces her to not call the police until he gets home. I was like, what the hell?
Because back then, a wife listened to her husband, even if she got, you know, attempted murdered.
I'm a smeck you.
But that was the good thing about that was the play talking, because he can just explain everything away immediately. That's what I liked about that character. He could just figure out some other angle. This has been changing everybody's mind. I thought it was a little hammy. It's just 50s hammy.
Yeah, there was a lot
when
of that.
With the two having the affair. Some of their scenes were a little
darling,
hornball.
Don't you remember those letters I wrote you? Yes, and then I burned them all except one. No, do go on.
I love the part when Ray Milland is explaining to the guy who played the assassin person, Swan.
I don't remember.
He's
another character.
He's like explaining. Anthony Dawson. So he's explaining how, like, he saw his wife and her lover, and they were cooking spaghetti together. And I was like, they were playing hide the noodle.
By the way, in A Perfect Murder, they combine those characters.
On a side note. So he, like, hires the boyfriend to kill?
Wait, something what? Like that. I'm pretty. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure I'm right.
That sounds like the most imperfect murder I've ever heard.
That sounds like a bad
sounds heavily bad. Well, then also, how does the lover come back later and be like, no, we gotta save her from the chair or whatever?
Yeah. I can't remember how it goes. I can't remember. I'm pretty sure that's how it works, though. We'll have to talk about that.
Interesting.
Yeah, I love how lighthearted the ending was.
It was super weird, because, like, he just...
just like, oh, well, I've been found out, jolly good show.
Yeah, he just, like, he walks back in, and he's like, well, guess they found me out, gonna make a drink now. Anyone else want anything? Guess you can't have one, Inspector, because you're on duty. Ha, 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 ha. And that's just how it ends.
I feel like there's several movies that just have it all of a sudden end.
Yeah.
His
everybody's just dancing around. It's like, oh no.
Yeah. The birds is like that. They just leave.
Well, that one's just like, that's just like an ending. It's not like everybody's just like laughing in the car ending.
There's another movie. I'm trying to think of what
far
it is.
Different. A Hitchcock movie?
Yeah, darn it.
There's a lot of older movies that I can not remember. But
anticlimactic.
Yeah, it's just like, it's like, oh, we solved it. And then it's like,
like, there's just no reaction from the guy whatsoever, even though, like, when he left the house, he, like, thought he was scot-free and his wife
was
going to die.
He's just a cool customer. Man.
Yeah, man.
He's a little too cool for comfort. I was like,
He's like, you know what?
I remember another one.
I'm going to have one last drink.
Was it like one? Or...
Yeah. Darling.
Darling's lover.
Yeah, and then that's just like... the wife and the mister, they're both just like, yeah, we'll have a drink too. This has been a crazy couple weeks.
Yeah, like... Because that was the thing. Like, when Grace Kelly got back from jail or wherever she was, like, she seemed really resigned and, like, you know, like, being locked up had changed her. And I thought, okay, maybe they're going to poke at that a little bit and, like, be like, oh, it was horrible and I was in this cell or whatever.
It's got, like, a teardrop tattoo.
No, she, nothing like that. Just completely, like, okay, she was in there and then, like, now her husband's getting framed for this or whatever.
I thought she was actually pretty good coming back from...
She looked...
I thought her performance was pretty good for that.
Yeah,
she
wasn't even wearing like prison clothes. I thought that they were going to touch on it a little bit more.
Yeah.
How did they explain that again?
It was just the detective inspector or whatever called, you know, he's just like, oh, bring her over. I'm going to do a thing.
Oh, okay.
It's like, I don't know.
Because he's like, what are you here for? You know, he gave her the look, what?
I was super confused when she showed up. I thought it was going to turn into like she had a twin sort of thing.
That was
like,
kind of weird.
It was, yeah, there was a lot of weirdness in the end that I couldn't fully buy, except for the fact that I was like, oh, it's like a stage play, so I guess they can't do it. In a regular movie, they should be able to, I don't know, go to these different locations, but since it's just like stage play,
it
gets a pass. Directions. I was really confused how the inspector kept treating the mister like he was a stupid idiot for not picking up on his weird key trick. Yeah. Like, he's like, what are you doing? I don't get it. And I was like, this is the question I'm asking myself, because I don't understand what he's doing either.
Yeah.
And he said something about, like, there's flat-footed policemen and God save us from an experienced amateur or something like that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like, what?
And he switches their coats, even though, like, they just so happen to have the same coat.
Yeah.
Maybe
the
inspector got, like, the same coat so that he could switch the key.
He didn't notice. He took the coat and didn't even notice.
Yeah, and then...
And he did the thing where he, like, dropped the key, and then he, like, picked it back up and was like, is this yours? All these keys look the same. I don't know. The key thing was just super weird.
That was something that probably worked a lot better as a stage play, where it's kind of like, all right, I can buy this. But in a movie, I don't... And even at the time,
need something a little kickier.
Yeah.
Like, kinkier?
Kicky.
Yeah.
kickier.
More ball gags.
More punch.
We switched ball gags.
Yeah. They all look the same, you know.
I'm going to leave this alone. Somebody's working here, but I'll let them know.
So if you were going to cast this movie today, there's like basically four main parts. Who would you cast as? Ray Milland, Grace Kelly, and the boyfriend and the inspector.
Well, that's funny. When we were talking about Cary Grant, I thought maybe George Clooney could be the older husband. But once again, you know, he's got such a... He has to be a handsome leading man or younger. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to still kill Chris Pine from him.
I think that's just the obvious choice. There's that. I dare you to find anybody better.
But woman now? I'm not sure. I mean, Gwyneth Paltrow in the 90s. She was a good pick.
ScarJo?
No, she's Asian, didn't you know?
What?
Yeah.
Does that have to do with
it?
No Asians. Everybody knows Hitchcock hated Asians.
I'm just saying, she's
Asian?
You haven't heard that joke? Because she keeps playing Asian parts. Oh. Whatever. Yeah, so she can't be in this movie. It's not a traditionally Asian part. Okay. Anyways. Whatever, that was stupid. Cut that.
I'm leaving it in.
No.
I feel like she's somebody a little younger than her.
Yeah.
I'll give her an age complex.
Maybe Margot Robbie.
Okay.
Might be
I can see that. I can see that.
Pick.
I was thinking maybe Jennifer Lawrence. It seems like a Jennifer.
No, J-Bom. I don't think Jennifer Lawrence.
No, I'm not saying she would be good in it. I'm just saying that it's like,
seems
it's
like
that.
A pick.
It's that same type of role where it's like, that's the hot thing at the time.
It feels like Jennifer Lawrence has kind of dropped off the face of the earth recently.
Well,
I haven't seen her in anything in a couple years.
I didn't see that Sparrow movie. I didn't see that.
Nobody saw that.
No, I didn't see...
Mother.
Shoot. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
I didn't see that one.
I saw that. I don't know.
Why?
Yeah, that's what I'm asking myself.
But I'm going to throw in some for the... Ian McKellen might be kind of fun for the old...
The inspector.
Yes.
Or maybe Anthony Hopkins.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think they go with Ian McKellen. He's got the right flair.
Who else has done that kind of stuff?
Patrick Stewart.
Patrick Stewart.
He'd be good.
See, you guys need to diversify your roles up a little bit.
All right, who's your pick?
I got Javier Bardem.
Yeah.
Javier Bardem as Milan's character. Oh. That would totally.
That's good. Yeah, that's awesome.
You got Chris Pine as you know, the boy toy.
What about?
And then as the lady,
Kate Blanchett.
Too old.
Oh, yeah.
I want to keep any of those. I want to keep the same age disparity.
Kate Blanchett as the husband.
Swan. Kate Blanchett as the
assassin. Ooh, we can make this like a lesbian drama.
Oh. How about Swan? Steve Buscemi. Somebody like that.
Oh, that's pretty damn good. Yeah. That's
Steve Buscemi or William H. Macy.
Kind of,
yeah. That
would be skeezy looking
yeah.
dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think like Steve trouble. Buscemi is probably. He's like, yeah, trying to sell my car.
He doesn't quite look intimidating enough, maybe, but.
William H. Macy. He's a weird face.
I would actually almost see him more as the detective.
I was going to say the same thing.
That's just what he's been typecast as, though. Yeah. He's definitely that type of role.
I think he has a weird face. He's suspicious.
He's like
suspicious.
Like a puppy dog.
And what about, what's his name from the tall one from Monty Python? It'd be a little too comical, maybe, but...
What, a John Cleese?
John Cleese.
that would almost be too much.
That would be amazing.
That would be a little too old now, but
yeah.
Well, he's supposed to be older. I mean, it was in the movie. I think the original.
Like really old now.
he's like 70.
What about John Williams? We could get John Williams to be.
We'll
have to change the marquee and all.
We'll do a seance and we'll bring him back.
He's still alive.
John Williams.
Oh, not that John Williams.
I wasn't thinking the composer.
The composer John Williams.
The other John Williams. Spirit John Williams.
So I think that's it. So what I got so far is Javier Bardem as the husband, Margot Robbie as the wife, Chris Pine as the boy toy, and then you got William H. Macy as the detective and Steve Buscemi as Captain Lesgate or the Swan, because he's got
all the different names.
Yeah.
Swan. I think, I go with Margot Robbie. I just really love Margot Robbie.
She should be good in that role, actually.
Instead of Javier Bardem, I was thinking maybe Guillermo del Toro would be good.
Guillermo del Toro?
Guillermo del Toro.
You mean Benicio del Toro?
Thank you.
You mean he should direct it.
No!
That would be
a bunch of crazy, they're all like these crazy monsters that are like...
Fairies in the garden.
Yeah. Instead of keys, it's eyeballs.
That'd be a good Swan.
You know, all the eyeballs around here are the same.
Benicio, thank you. Benicio del Toro.
He'd have some
John
weird
Malin.
Tick.
Yeah.
I don't like.
What's that?
What? What are you doing?
All the the quirky, did the Hateful Eight.
Oh, Quentin Tarantino? Yeah. That would be a good Quentin Tarantino role. He loves doing like random stuff like that.
Yeah.
There would be more murder than somebody
would actually die. Oh, wait, no, that guy did die. Yeah.
No, he means as
many blood.
Many more murders.
He means as Swan the assassin, murders. Like playing the character, not directing.
Oh,
there would still be many more murders than necessary.
It would be
I can see that.
Damn it, Benicio del Toro.
It was a Toro.
Yeah, Guillermo del Toro would be a very. It's a choice.
Like Denzel as the husband.
Actually,
I like him as the inspector. I like him better as the detective.
Yeah, I like Denzel as the detective. Yeah. I like.
But you have
to see him play a bad guy.
The only thing is, these are good actors. They can pull off anything, but you can't pick somebody. Cause I'm kind of taking back George Clooney because you can't pick somebody who's too thought of as a leading.
True.
Well, that's kind of what Hitchcock tried to do. He's like, I want somebody who's normally like a cool leading man to be the bad guy. I think that would have made this movie a lot more interesting if it were Cary Grant. I know, probably.
No, but I'm saying it has to be somebody you believe she's going to have an affair on. I guess it could be anybody. I'm putting.
Yeah, have you met women?
Hollywood. Oh, ouch. So back to the movie. Yeah.
Jeez. Oh. Oh my gosh.
There's a lot of angry staring going. I won't say who. It's Evan.
Yeah, I'm just offended. I don't know where to go from here. Hitchcock. It's a great director. And Yeah, where does he lie for you guys as far as like greatest directors ever? You're like, is he one of your favorite directors?
I mean, it's one of my favorite directors. Mm-hmm. I don't think he can do any wrong, even though this one isn't as good as it wouldn't be in my top five for sure. I'm not even sure if I can make a top 10. It wouldn't be my top 10.
Yeah, I don't think so.
It was entertaining and it was good. The people in it are noteworthy.
It's him phoning it in, which is still not bad.
Yeah, I just, you know.
Yeah, like another one that wasn't on this list is Rope. And
I need to see Rope. Yeah, that's another one that takes place in just one room.
Yeah.
Did he do To Catch a Thief?
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about that. His old stuff's great, though. Even the 39 Steps, which is like, that's a 30s. He might have.
That's him, too.
He did one on this list.
Sorry.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I'm well, there's been a couple versions of that, but I think
something like that, maybe not.
I think he directed two versions of it. I'm sure there was a British version, and then he might have done a later one.
What was his last movie?
Last movie was Family Plot. Frenzy, the one I loved.
Frenzy,
love you.
Yeah. Frenzy, I thought was way better than this.
I loved it. Like, and that was. So this is supposed to take place in England, right?
Yeah.
But it didn't. I mean, probably, I don't know if it was actually filmed there. But
it's
that
like
was
a soundstage. It might have. It probably was. But
that one was, according to the liner notes or the special features, he hadn't done anything actually in London for a long, long time. And I'm wondering if this
might, yeah, actually.
I don't know if it was or not.
It totally could have been filmed anywhere because it was all a soundstage. Yeah. Like even the outside scenes are clearly like you know green screen or blue screen or whatever.
And the other thing before I forget. He had a couple, because that Frenzy had an ending, kind of like a weird short ending.
Yeah,
he just goes
like,
in and
they just,
go, here I am.
Yeah, we got you.
He's a and crazy then, murderer.
Yeah.
And they arrest him and it just ends. And also, Strangers on a Train.
Yeah, that's not on here either.
That reminded me of this because it's the same kind of reverse where you know what's going to happen. You know what's going on right at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. That's a classic, I can't remember the exact quote, but he's... Hitchcock has a thing where he's just like, well, that's the whole deal with suspense is you tell everybody what's going to happen.
Yeah. So you're watching it and
you know, what's
going
to happen the whole time
for Grace Kelly. Cause you're like, oh no, like you're going in there and that guy's going to try and murder you because you know, it's going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah. Even though you can see everything isn't quite falling into place, mm-hmm. which, you know, adequately foreshadowed that everything's going to kind of fall apart.
I think I assumed Grace Kelly would die, but,
Well, if she had died, what would the rest of the movie have been?
I don't know. I thought they would figure out what happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't mean to change the subject.
No,
I forgot
right. But Matt, what about you? Is Hitchcock one of your favorite directors or?
Yeah, I his, moniker Master of Suspense is pretty accurate.
It sounds like a term paper. You said that. His moniker, the Master of Suspense, is accurate.
Thought about this a lot on many term papers that I reused over and over again. No, but yeah, like I said, he's really good at like just he tells you what's going to happen or what you're pretty sure is going to happen, and then you're on edge, kind of trying to anticipate it, and then sometimes it does happen and then sometimes it doesn't,
and he weirdly makes it fun.
Yeah,
that's the other thing.
Yeah.
It's always fun.
Murder's been fun for years, guys.
There's a reason he keeps doing it.
Going on since the
everybody loves murder. It's a whole industry.
True crime, really.
This is one of his weaker, or as far as I've seen so far, this is his weakest movie. And not because it's bad, just because I don't think the script really gives him a lot of opportunity to, you know, really employ like all of his techniques that he had developed that make him what he is today. I think it's just all he has to do is like, he does a low angle, he does a high angle, he just follows actors. It's nothing super special. It's nothing that really took a lot of craft.
The only problem I'm trying to remember, didn't he do a gag where it goes all the way, the camera goes all the way around her or something, it spins around the... I'm trying to remember what part that was. If it was when she's going to get inked, when she's going to strangle.
I think that's what it is. Yeah, when she's about to get strangled.
It kind of goes around.
Yeah, and it's like the murder scene or the attempted murder, botched murder scene is probably the most Hitchcockian out of everything. Everything else is just kind of like, I agree with Hitchcock that it anybody could have done it for the most part.
What are your thoughts on Hitchcock, Abby?
Well, I never really like paid attention to directors until probably after I met Matt, because he's like, I didn't really know about camera angles or anything like that. I never thought about it.
Cinematography.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I know what it is. We in the biz. And it's still not something that's always like at the top of my radar. Like, you know, I don't go to see a movie because a certain director directed it necessarily. For me, it's more about like, you know, what's the plot about and does it, you know, who's the cast? Like, that's always been more important to me. But I will say that the movies that I've seen that Hitchcock has directed, I've all really enjoyed.
I mean, there's all kinds of famous directors, but he could drive a movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I think Spielberg, to some extent anyway, maybe not as much now as it used to be, but I, Steven Spielberg directed it, I want to see it rather than who's in it. And to me, that was like, oh, a Hitchcock movie, rather, even though he always had big, or most of the time, he had at least several, few big stars in each movie, even as, except for his English black and white ones, he didn't have as many international characters or actors. But he drove a film. I mean, that's why everybody was so mad because he didn't ever win an Academy Award, because he was such a popular actor.
He's a big name,
I mean,
that's
director.
Big name director. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, but he is an actor in every single one of the movies.
Well, did you catch him in the movie, by the way?
Oh, immediately. Yeah.
Where was he?
He was in the photo when he was. Oh, look, he takes it off the wall.
I believe I have a picture of you right here.
My room is right here. Yeah. It was the reunion picture, and he's sitting at the table.
Okay. Yeah, I did not
get it. It's like, clearly, you know, he's got his big shit eating Hitchcock grin.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
With the hang loose fingers.
The shaka.
Yeah, the shaka.
Yo.
Yeah, so, I mean, I really, you know, even though I don't think too much about who's directing what movies, I really have liked every movie that I've seen that Hitchcock has directed. I just think they're a good time, and I love being held in suspense, you know, in like a fun kind of, you know, almost cheesy way. So get
Alfred
your hot
Hitchcock
takes here.
Approved.
Maybe Alfred Hitchcock will make a
really
cameo
quick,
in this podcast.
Really quickly, round table, favorite Hitchcock movie, Tim?
Oh, Rear Window.
Nah.
See, I'm torn between Rear Window and North by Northwest. I'll just say North by Northwest.
Psycho.
Basic. I love all those movies, though.
I know.
Don't call me basic.
Kidding.
And I throw Birds in there that most people don't, but I something about the Birds that really, I just love that one.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it
That's
yet.
A good, like,
I am
monster.
Terrified of birds.
Yeah.
Like, suck. Actually, they're terrible. And I don't like
they
birds.
They would
and I think maybe
you got to watch that then.
I think that's maybe
totally
why
creepy.
I haven't seen it. Because I'm just like, I don't want to watch a movie where a bunch of birds are flying around.
Oh, yeah. And there are totally scenes in there where they were throwing actual
birds
at the actors.
Yeah, I know.
The girl, what's her
name? Oh, Tippi Hedren?
Yeah, Tippi Hedren.
Yeah.
I can't even her name.
God, yeah. That
she was,
poor, fear,
she was
poor
frightened
Tippi,
of birds,
yeah.
too, in real life.
Yeah, I feel for her.
It makes
I
it better.
See, that's a problematic attitude to have.
And I just realized, Court, this one had a blonde in it. How he has blondes in almost all his movies. I just realized that.
It's just
I didn't think about it, but obsessed with blondes.
Quentin Tarantino always has like feet scenes in all his movies.
Is that right?
Yeah,
yeah,
it is.
I thought you were going to say Uma Thurman.
Yeah, no.
Also like, Uma Thurman.
Yeah.
That's a basic fetish.
Yeah, that's a wand. Come on.
It's all about wands.
Up your game to feet.
Wands.
Oh, wands.
Wands.
I heard wands.
It's like Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was I thought you meant J-U-A-N.
Oh, wands. Like,
I gotta have a wand in my movie.
Give me a good wand.
Yeah. Just wand.
Nothing
hey,
like
hey,
a
hey.
Fine
hey,
wand.
Hey, guys. You're one of a kind.
One of a million. Do you guys have any other thoughts on the film
Fresh
before
takes.
We get into it?
Just a fun movie. Not his best, but better than the average flair.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
50s, yeah.
I'll use the other F word. It's a fine movie. Not the best. I do not think this belongs anywhere near like the 250, though.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, I enjoyed it. It was pleasant. I don't think I would go out of my way to watch it again. But it was good.
We'll put that on the back of the box. I don't think I'd go out of my way to watch it again.
Good for one watch.
One watch?
One watch. There it is. One watch.
There's always one.
There's always one. We need to stop. All right. This has been a wonderful talk. Let's just quickly do the vote, even though I think I know the answer.
Yeah.
Should this be in our top 100? Yes or no, Tim?
Top 100, no.
Matt?
Not in my top 100.
Gabby?
It's not one of my favorites, so I'll have to say no.
It's a no for me.
I thought you were going to say 250. I would have maybe struck. I don't know if I'd have.
Yeah, I wouldn't even put it to 250.
Maybe
250,
but not in the top
bottom of the 250.
Do you think the other films, there's other Hitchcock films that should be on the 250 instead of this?
Yes.
I mean, you could just switch out that with The Birds.
Well, The Birds. That's, yeah. The Birds is better than this. Mm-hmm. And some of the others we talked about. Or his newer ones. I think Frenzy. We said Frenzy. That was.
Yeah, Frenzy. Yeah. Frenzy was much better than this. Yeah. Frenzy's one of those that I don't know why more people don't talk about it. I didn't know about it until Tim lent me the DVD. But
why do you guys think this made it onto the top 250 instead of some of the ones we mentioned?
Just Hitchcock and Grace Kelly. Those two names.
Grace Kelly.
There's other Grace Kelly movies that To Catch a Thief didn't make it on there.
Yeah. Maybe this one had to do
with that. That did have Cary Grant in it too.
Maybe this had to do with the way it was acted, because John Mulaney did such an amazing job.
The title is good. Yeah, he was good. The title's really good to riff off of.
It's a good title. That's what it is.
Yeah,
and it has been spoofed a lot.
Yeah, that's why it just.
More importantly, where does this land in titles of movies all time?
It's probably one of the best titles.
Great title. What really bothered me about it was that you had that great title, but yet there was nothing in the movie about a telephone operator. I wanted a telephone operator to be one of the main characters.
Yeah, the phone's pretty integral.
I was going to say the same thing until I raised one minute. He does call her.
He does
no,
call
the whole
her.
Thing is about the
it's
phone.
A phone
yes,
call.
Yes, but I wanted one of the protagonists to like be a phone operator or something.
Well, that's your
because
personal.
Because then they could say the title of the movie.
You can go
it could
see
be like
that
for murder, dial M.
What was that other 50s movie? I told you when I heard this title, I was thinking of that other one where. You know what I can't quite remember.
There's like burglars in her
house.
It's
like on the
tip
of my tongue, and yeah. I don't remember.
It was like sort of the same time frame, wasn't
it?
Like, well, within 10 years.
I can't remember.
Anyway. Why isn't that in the top 250?
Yeah, I don't know. I just missed the cut, I think.
Yeah, I really think it's just the title.
It's a really memorable title, so maybe that's just what it is.
It's a great title.
Top-notch character actors.
Dial
at the time, it was a box office success. Yeah. I noticed that. I looked that up. I mean, not a lot of movies are, though.
Is this movie better than Paddington?
We know the answer. No.
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 Okay, I'll go with you this time. No. That was the opposite last time.
I need to get a copy of Paddington.
This one's even a better representation of, you know, London. Or Paddington's a better representation of London than
yes, absolutely. And Paddington is just, it's like a little delight wrapped up in pastels and love.
That was beautiful.
Pastels. That's a DVD cover quote.
Yes.
Yeah. Pastels and love.
So yeah, this movie is not better than Paddington or Shape of Water for that matter.
Yeah.
Even though that's not our standard.
Even though you didn't finish it?
No, I didn't finish it, but I saw it. I saw like enough of it to feel like I had a good grasp on what happened.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there was a fish. Yeah, she worked at like a lab, and the guy was a fish, and then she fell in love with him, and then they boned, and then she turned into a fish.
You mean deboned?
That one got me. Well, it's been wonderful.
It's been a wonderful time being here with
you. Any closing, anything else anybody wants to say about Dial M for Murder?
Closing.
It was painful for me to say no because I love Hitchcock stuff.
Yeah.
That was brutal. It set me up that way.
I'm sorry. I didn't know. I didn't mean dirty. Didn't know we wouldn't like it as much. I enjoyed this movie. I think for me, it would probably be like in the top 200 of all time. I really did enjoy how it kept me so invested, even though it's like such a small scale. Yeah, I was fully into the movie the whole time. Yeah,
like a couple others that we've talked about so far. It's, you know, it's not bad. It's just the.
But we're talking top about the top
100.
That's
a top 100.
Oh, gosh, we need to change the podcast name. Yeah. Top 100. That's the other. That's the other podcast we start where we go through all the movies with Juan in it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tiny
it's
sombrero.
Juan in a million. Truly, we made that joke twice.
Yeah.
I've made that joke.
We made a couple of them twice.
Yeah, it's okay.
If you made one joke, you've made them all.
That was one too many right there.
Yeah, good movie. Not great movie.
Yeah, it was fine. I mean, I think my final thoughts are Grace Kelly is a damn gem and so beautiful.
You mean she was a dish back in the day.
She was a dish back in the day. Yes, that one. And also her red dress from that opening scene is amazing, and I would absolutely buy that if they sold that today.
Me too.
That's really, it's just an iconic dress. It's beautiful. I mean, that's she's great. A style icon.
Yeah.
So, anyways. Yeah. Grace Kelly is the highlight of this movie.
Grace Kelly, one of the most beautiful actresses ever. One of the best titles ever.
She's got them toes, too.
Yeah. That's an inside joke. Yeah.
Sure.
But the movie falls just a little short for us and does not make the cut. And I think that about does it for this episode. And we're out.
All right. Once and for all.